Please take your Bible this morning and open to the book of Romans, chapter number 11 and verse number 34. Romans chapter 11, verse number 34. We're going to read verse 34, 35, and 36. Romans chapter 11, verse 34, 35, and 36. Here's what the Bible says. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I want you to notice in particular verse 36. That's where our focus is going to be this morning in this message. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that is ours to be together this morning. I do thank you so much for our church family and for those that are here today. We realize that some are out of town today, but for those that are here, we pray that you will speak to their hearts and challenge them about our topic this morning, which all surrounds stewardship. We're going to give some foundational principles today about stewardship, and I do pray that you'll help me as the speaker to make it very clear and understandable, and that all of us would listen very carefully and hear what you would say to us this morning. Please bless the message and have your intended results to be accomplished, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to say one thing about the song that was chosen for this month and the theme, Give of Your Best. I want you to notice that it reminds us to give of your best. Not my best, not someone else's best, all right, but your best, okay? I mentioned something like this last Sunday in the message, and I wanted to make sure and emphasize this all month long. Nobody else can tell you what to give. That's between you and the Lord. If you will be faithful to ask him, I believe he'll be faithful to show you and tell you. But he knows what you can give, and he knows what you can't give, because he's the one who supplies what you have. So please ask him and seek this from him, and then come the 27th of this month, when you're given a commitment card, all you have to do is just jot down the amount that he laid on your heart to give. And then try your best to do that each Sunday, and God will bless you for that, I promise. I've seen this happen in my life and many other lives through the years. That's called good stewardship when it comes to missions giving. So, again, today I'm going to focus on verse 36, and I want to give you some foundational thoughts about stewardship. The Bible is quite clear, I think, teaching us that God is the creator and the owner of all things. In fact, that's mentioned here in this verse. The Bible teaches us also that while he is the creator and owner of all things, he has chosen to put certain items in our care as stewards. By the way, steward is another word for manager. He's chosen to put some of those items that belong to him in our care as stewards or managers. And then, of course, one day he's going to call us before him and we'll have to give an account of how we handled those items. This is called stewardship. And it reminds us, of course, that we're not the owner. God is. We're just managing some of his affairs on a temporary basis. One day, of course, we'll give an account to him of how we handled those things. We want to hear, don't we? We want to hear, well done. That's what we want to hear. Well, in order to hear that, of course, you have to have done well. If you want to hear well done, you have to have done well. So I encourage you to seek the Lord and ask him what he wants you to do, and then just try your best to do what he told you to do, managing his goods and affairs for him. So in the message today, concentrating on verse 36, I'm just going to give you three main thoughts. These are foundational thoughts about stewardship. And I want you to notice the verse again, verse 36 of Romans 11. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Here's the first thought. Everything we have was given to us by God. Everything we have was given to us by God. You notice the verse says, for of him. Of him. Everything we have was given to us by God. Everything that we have, by the way, James reminds us of this, doesn't it? The book of James reminds us that every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything we have comes from the hand of God. The house that we live in, the clothes that we wear, the car that we drive, the job that we have, all these things, even the life that we are living, all of that comes from the hand of an almighty God who, by the way, is a very, very loving Heavenly Father. And that's why he gives us those things. I remember years and years ago, I was sitting in a meeting and heard the speaker say something like this. Do you know why God made strawberries? Long pause. And then he said, because God knew his children liked strawberries. Well, you may not like strawberries, but I do. And so I really related to what that speaker said, you know. God made those things because he knows that his children like those things. He's a very loving and compassionate Heavenly Father. And he's the one who gave us everything we have. Recently, my wife and I celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary. I believe even the wife that I have, God gave to me. Now, you've heard this before, and she's heard it many times. But before I met Sarah, I had somebody else in mind. But that wasn't who God wanted me to spend 50 years with. And so God broke that off and sent her off with someone else. I hope he enjoyed it. Actually, it doesn't really matter, because God gave me someone so much better. And I honestly mean this with all of my heart. I'm sincere with you when I tell you this. The lady that I had chosen would never have done and handled so well all the things that Sarah has done and handled so well. You know, when Sarah and I first got together, she did not know, and of course I did not know at that time either, that I would be called of God to be a minister of the gospel. You remember how scared you were when you first heard that? She was petrified. I was petrified. But she was. She was very, very, very nervous about that. And, you know, I was as well. But God has a way of making what he wants you to do possible. And he helps you with those things so long as you're listening to him and following him and surrendering to him. God makes all those things possible. And now, isn't it hard to believe, Sarah, not only have we been married 50 years, but we've been in the ministry all these years. You know, the majority of those 50 years, we've been in the ministry together and served. And, you know, there have been difficult times and there have been very blessed times. But God has helped us through every bit of it. Like the song said, Jesus led me all the way. See, you can look back and you can see his hand at work. So not only, you know, clothes and, you know, a vehicle and a home and a job and all that was given to us by God. But even people like your life's mate, your wife or your husband, God has given you those. And of course, children and other things. Please understand, without the Lord, you wouldn't have all these nice things. God is the one who provided all those things. So our life, our time, our talents, our treasures, everything we have comes from the hand of God. John 1, verse 3, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Just think, all things were made by him. Listen to this. I don't know if you've ever thought about these two verses in relationship to stewardship, but listen to the two verses. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Right in the center of those two verses is that phrase, which is your reasonable service. Now again, I don't know if you've ever thought about these two verses in relationship to stewardship, but if everything that we have has come from God, and then God is asking you for some of that to support his work, wouldn't that be reasonable service? Sure, because it all came from him anyway. It's not mine. It belongs to the Lord. He's the one that gave it to me. This is why God can say it is our reasonable service, because it all comes from him. So here's my first thought again. We need to remember that everything we have was given to us by God. This is one of the basic foundational truths about stewardship. Number one, everything we have was given to us by God. Look at the verse again. Romans 11, 26, or 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Here's the second thought. Everything we have should be managed with God's help. Everything we have should be managed with God's help. This verse not only says for of him, it also says and through him. And through him. Not only is God the one who gave us everything we have, but we're supposed to try to manage all those things with his help. Through him. Boy, I hope you don't get tired of me saying this, but you don't have to do anything I tell you to do. And I mean that with all my heart. You don't have to do anything I tell you to do. But you do have to do what God wants you to do. And one day you'll give an account for that. It's through him. I can't help you to do those things, but God can help you to do those things. Anything he asks you to do, he'll help you to do it. It's through him. Managing those things with God's help means that we try our best to use the things he gives us in the way that he wants us to use them. You know this answer, I'm sure, but how much of what you were given in life can you take with you to heaven? I know there's several people, you're shaking their head and people saying nothing and giving me the zero sign and all that kind of stuff. But there is a way that you can send it on ahead, right?
Yes.
Yeah, by giving. By giving. Now, the things that we give to the Lord's work and to support his cause on this earth is never going to be wasted. Okay? For instance, let me give you an example real quick concerning this special gift that I would like for our church to give towards the relief efforts in the western North Carolina and eastern Tennessee area that was hit so devastatingly hard. One of the things that I was able to do with the Lord's leading and help is I talked with Brother Tony back there, because Brother Tony is from Chattanooga, and I thought, well, maybe he and his pastor back there would know someone in that area of the United States that might be a good person to talk to. And so Tony's pastor told me about a pastor in Asheville, North Carolina. Asheville, North Carolina is one of those areas that was hit really, really hard by that hurricane. It just so happens that this pastor in Asheville, North Carolina, as a pastor of a rather large church, and they have, and this has been going on for days and days and days already, but they have a task force, part of their church, that is on the ground actually helping people that are devastated by that hurricane. I mean, there, you talk about boots on the ground. Friend, this is boots on the ground. This is not sending it to some distant headquarters where they're going to take a certain percentage of it for their overhead and all that kind of stuff. This is giving money to a local church just like ours, but much larger, that has boots on the ground that's actually helping people in that area. When I meet with the deacons, that's what I'm going to recommend. That's where we send it. When I meet with the church family, I'm hoping the deacons agree with me. I think that they will. But that's where we should send the monies. Because it's an independent Baptist church. They believe just like we do. And they're boots on the ground. They're right there. And they're actually helping the individuals. Many, they've been at it for days and days. Right from the get-go, they've been at this. I hope this is all okay sharing all this, Brother Tony. But his pastor, Brother Tony's pastor, I talked to him. That's where they're sending their special offering. I'm going to recommend that. Now, I'm talking about, again, managing the things that God gives us, even as a church family. Individual, yes. Families, yes. But even as a church family, managing things how the Lord would want us to. See? To do things, what would God do if he were here? You know, what would he do? What would he say to do? He's the owner. We're the manager. So really what it comes down to is this. You ready? Lord, how do you want me to do this? How do you want me to do this? And that's what we're going to try to do with the Lord's help. Now, let me show you something. Keep something here in Romans 11 because we're coming back. But let's go to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Sister Rebecca, would you do me a favor? Would you go downstairs and turn off the furnace? Don't hit the wrong switch now because we'll lose our power like we did that one time. But if you'd be willing to do that. Deuteronomy chapter 8. When I got here this morning, it was a little bit cool in the auditorium, so I turned on the furnace downstairs. And, of course, it's a steam boiler, so it takes a little while to get going. And in Sunday school, you might have been chilly. I don't know about you, but to me, it feels like it's getting warm in here, so time to cut it off. I don't want anybody to fall asleep on me. You need to stay awake, okay? Don't make me send my wife after you to wake you up. That's good, isn't it, Sue? Deuteronomy chapter 8. Look at verse 11, would you please? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Beware, now realize God's speaking to Israel, and it's Old Testament, I understand that, but hear what the Lord is saying to his people. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. You get the idea, right? You're prosperous, you're doing well, you're materially, you know, blessed. Verse 14, when that happens, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, you know, when you're blessed with all these material things, you might say in your heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Now again, I understand it's Old Testament, God speaking to the nation of Israel, but it's God speaking to his people and reminding them that, look, you didn't get all that stuff by yourself. I gave it to you. And in fact, I even gave you the ability to make wealth. So don't forget me, the Lord said. Because if you do, there are going to be consequences. See, we need to remember that, number one, everything we have was given to us by God. But number two, we also need to remember that everything we have should be managed with God's help. He's the one that gave us those things. He's the owner. We're the manager. We just are supposed to say, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? How would you like me to handle this? God is the one who gives us all those things and the ability to get those things, but He is the power behind it. He is the strength behind it. He is the ability behind it. I'm just managing it for Him. Listen to this verse, Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Here it comes. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I live this life by the faith of the Son of God. John 15, verse 5 reminds us that without me, ye can do nothing. We need to remember that everything we have was given to us by God. And secondly, everything we have is supposed to be managed with God's help. Now here's my final point. Notice verse 36 again. Romans 11, verse 36. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Not only is it true that everything we have was given to us by God, not only is it true that everything we have should be managed with God's help. You ready for this? Number three, everything we have will ultimately return to God. You see what the verse says? For of Him, in other words, it came from Him, and through Him, we manage it for Him with His help, and to Him are all things. It's going to return to Him. Not only did God give it to us, and we're supposed to manage it with His help, but when all is said and done, everything's going to ultimately return to Him. Everyone and everything will ultimately return to the one who gave it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10 says this, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. God's going to gather everything together in Christ. God will one day gather all things unto Himself, and that makes perfect sense to me because it all belongs to Him anyway. He's the Creator and the giver of all things. That just all makes sense to me. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 13, 14, and 15 reminds us that man cannot carry away his riches when he dies. Man cannot carry away his riches when he dies because they don't belong to him. They belong to God. One day, all those things, of course, are going to return to the Lord anyway. When's the last time that you saw in a funeral procession the hearse, and then behind it was a big U-Haul with all their goods? Normally, that doesn't happen, does it? No, everything that's here that, you know, after we die, it's all left. By the way, my folks, mom and dad, both passed away within the last 5 years, and I know that's true. When they passed away, everything they had was left here. And I was one of those lucky sons that got to go through, you know, mom and dad's things and see if there was anything I needed or wanted. Or I helped clean out dad's garage, and boy, there was lots of memories there from things that dad had collected through the years. And yeah, he left it all here. He doesn't need it in heaven anyway. And mom didn't need her things either. No, it's all left behind, friend. It's all left behind. Matthew 6, 19, 20, and 21 reminds us that we're to lay up treasures in heaven rather than here on earth. Well, that makes perfect sense too when you realize that everything's going to return to the Lord anyway. See, God's word tells us that we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. Every one of us. I'm looking at you, you're looking at me. Every one of us came into this world with nothing. And that's what you'll leave with. Nothing. God's word tells us that. That's why we should make wise use of all that we have right now for our Master while we're alive. Because everything that we have is going to be left behind, but ultimately return to the Lord. Now notice the Bible verse again, if you would. In fact, let's read the whole text. Romans 11, verse 34, 35, and 36. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Basic, foundational thoughts about stewardship. Number one, everything we have was given to us by God. Number two, everything we have should be managed with God's help. Number three, everything we have will ultimately return to God. I'm wrapping it up, but a couple of thoughts. First, this question. How's your stewardship? It's amazing to me how tightly some folks hang on to their possessions. Have you ever realized that as we get older, our grip on things gets looser? Not only physically, but even, you know, emotionally and spiritually. As we get older, physically, of course, we can't grip the things that we used to grip the way we used to grip them. As people get older, their strength in their fingers and their strength in their hands and arms is not what it used to be. And they might be holding on to something, but you can pull it away from them pretty easy because, don't be offended, they're old. Okay? Physically, it's a picture of the fact that we're getting ready to go to heaven. And our grip on this world is loosening. But even spiritually and emotionally, you get to thinking, it was touched on just briefly this morning in our adult Sunday school class, that as you get older, you see the whole world differently. You see life differently. You see decisions differently. It's because your grip on this world is loosening. It's so different than when you were young, because you're older now, and all that is changing. I might just ask you again, how's your stewardship? One day, of course, and sooner for some than others, right? One day we're going to stand before the Lord and give an accounting. Wouldn't it be good to hear, well done? But then remember, you have to have done well in order to hear, well done. One day you're going to give an account. God's the owner. You're the steward. You're the manager. One day you're going to have to stand before him, and he's going to ask you about your time, your talents, your treasures, your life. One of the greatest ways to hear well done is to make sure you do what he wants you to do when it comes to your giving and your investment in eternal things. Anybody here? I'm almost done, but anybody here have any financial investments? Okay, I got some. Because you have financial investments, do you watch the stock market at all? Have you noticed that, you know, there can be wild swings in the stock market? I mean, it can go up 300 or 400 points one day, and it can drop 500 or 600 points the next day. And I don't know about you, but I'm not, you know, tied to it, but I do check it every day. I want to see how we're doing. I got an app on my phone when I can look at that app and see how my investments are doing. Again, I'm not tied to this or married to it or anything like that, but I get curious sometimes to see how things are going. Do you know all that's going to be left behind? But you realize that when you make investments in heavenly goods, number one, there's not wild swings up and down. Amen. Amen. You never have to wonder, should I get out of this or not? You know, is this the bottom or is the bottom coming next? I better get out of it now while I still have a chance. You never have to worry about that with heavenly investments. The value just keeps increasing day by day and week by week and month by month and year by year. I want to encourage you to be a good steward. I want you to strongly consider what we're talking about this month. As we get closer and closer to Faith Promise Sunday, remember this illustration. Lord, what do you want me to do with what you've given me? How do you want me to handle it? Let's stand together, shall we? Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one is looking because we don't want to embarrass anyone. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, thank you for the opportunity that's been mine today to speak about foundational truths of stewardship. We need to remember that everything we have has come from you. You gave us everything we have. We also need to remember that one day we're going to give an account, because we're supposed to manage these things with your help in the way that you would want us to. We're the steward. You're the owner. And then thirdly, we need to remember that everything's going to return to you, including us, to give that accounting. Lord, help us to consider these very simple foundational truths today about our giving and our stewardship and our investing in heavenly investments. Please, Lord, may each one of us look towards heaven and sincerely ask, Lord, what do you want me to do? Bless the invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen.